Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. It's a 941 WTIC. Joining us, one of my favorite people. We check him just about every day. No, actually, I do check him about every day. That, of course, would be Don Pesce. His blog is donpesce.blogspot.com. Or better yet, you can just do, you know, web search and you'll find it. It's basically Red Notes from a Blue State, Connecticut Commentary. Let me do it properly. Connecticut Commentary, Red Notes from a Blue State. And normally he's on, you know, this show with Will, but Will's not here today, so I'm here. And, hey, how you doing, Don? It's been a while.
I'm doing great. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the German critic Karl Kraus.
No.
But, the famous critic around the early 1900s, somewhere around there. And he used to say that the fate of civilization really could depend on the placement of a comma.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. Truly. And you know, like I say, this woman was shocked because, you know, this misspelling. But apparently that's not all that uncommon. It's more important for you to get your thoughts out and express yourself, even if nobody else can understand it.
She should, call up and have a conversation with my wife, Andre, who taught in public schools for years and years and years and continues even today to get notices from her students saying, in effect, you were the toughest teacher I ever had, but thank God for you, because when I moved on to college, I did pretty well. And she was a real stickler for vocabulary and spelling and all the rest of that stuff.
Well, Don, I think everybody looks. I'm looking back at, you know, the people that I had. Maybe they won't claim educating me, but they did. And, you know, the best ones were the ones that were the toughest. I mean, I had this one woman in sixth grade, Clarine Poor. I'll never forget her. And, you know, she basically, it was weird. You'd sit there and you basically in history, you know, she'd have an exam. And it was not fill in the blank. It was not multiple choice. It was essentially write the history of Rome. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Why not?
And it was like, you know, my dad and I, the night before, my mom would work on it. And, you know, you're trying to memorize, you know, Tiberius and da-da-da and Romulus and Romulus and Remus. And you're trying to remember all that stuff, crossing the Rubicon, the fall of the Roman Empire, the Punic Wars. But anyway, but the point is, you know, people would spend the entire day. They'd do the test through their lunch hour, even beyond. But you did learn it. Some people say, though, Don, that learning those facts is rather irrelevant.
Oh, the best sports competitions are the ones that are the most challenging, you know. And the same is true of, intellectual pursuits within the classroom. Teachers that actually challenge students get gold from them.
You know, one thing I do want to talk about, some of the things that you've written about currently or recently. Connecticut Commentary, Red Notes from a Blue State. You want to talk, just for me, we got a story this morning, and I've come across it, is that, you know, apparently, what's your thought on tolls, whether they're right or wrong? Do you think this is going to happen?
Well, the most recent effusion, you know, in Connecticut Commentary is called Lamont Jaws, the Street Journal.
There it is.
And it's a little funny because he went to all the usual left of center watering holes. He could find, you know, Morning Joe and all the rest of it. And he was fairly, kindly received there. And then his ambition was to go to the Wall Street Journal editorial board and convince the people there that Connecticut was in a turnaround posture. And it didn't work. You know, I'm sure it did not work. So, and then he comes home, and he comes home to gunfire in Hartford.
Oh, God.
It was just a... So now, the latest news on tolls and Governor Lamont is that he's retreated to position one, the position he adopted.
Right.
Yeah, he adopted during the campaign that we're only going to toll trucks or we're going to put up tolls only on deteriorating bridges so we can get money from them. In the meantime, Republicans are putting up a video showing how many times the Democrat-dominated General Assembly raided the Transportation Fund since 2001. I don't know if you saw that. It was just put up.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, they go every year from 2001 on, and, you know, it's just devastating. Millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Well, the other thing that's weird, Don, is, you know, theoretically, the gas tax is supposed to go to pay for what you assume it would do, which is pay for roads and bridges and upkeep of same and so on and so forth, and maybe to complete Route 11. But anyway, when there's money there, you know, if you've got a surplus, you may not take it out, but you can move other items in to be covered under that. So, for example, we're starting, and a case could be made for this, state trooper pensions. There are all kinds of things that are interest. There are all kinds of things that are folded in there under the gas tax, which have not, maybe they're connected, but they really don't have a whole lot to do with what you think you're paying your taxes for.
Well, that's what happens with tax-hungry legislators. They begin to color outside the usual boxes, and pretty soon they're totally unrestrained. This is what's been happening in Connecticut for years and years and years. And all the tax increases that the middle class in Connecticut has suffered during the administration of Malloy, and now apparently during the administration of Lamont, mm-hmm. Is just devastating. It's absolutely devastating. So the problem is, I think people are beginning to realize this, even some people in the legislature. The problem is not that we don't have enough revenue. The problem is that we're spending too much money.
Well, and I was talking to Tony Harp earlier this morning, and she was talking about the loss of population here in Connecticut, so on and so forth. And as far as exit flow, we're pretty much up there, according to United Van Lines, but compared to people moving in. But the one thing that I'm beginning, and I think you're onto it already, is first of all, the way the legislature works now, and has certainly as of the last election, is here's what we want to spend money on. Now, where do we get the money? That's, you know, they don't even think about revenue. They're thinking about, you know, if in fact we want to do this, here's our great dream. Now, how do we fund it? I think that's the way they work.
That is the way they work. They're utopianists, you know. So they're utopianists. They first decide. This is really what's wrong with the state of Connecticut. They first decide what they want to do, and then they open hearings and they hear from a lot of people. But everything they hear from people is more or less discounted because they've already made the General Assembly and the shakers and movers, in government have already decided what they want to do. Now, these hearings are supposed to provide people in the General Assembly with information they may not have, so that they could use it in making their decisions. But it doesn't happen that way. You know it doesn't happen that way, right?
Of course not. Well, and here's the thing. You know, for example, let's say you're an average Joe. Do you have time to go and sit and wait outside a hearing room for your turn to speak? You sign up. Eventually, you get in to speak. Do you have time to do it all day? Probably not. So what you get is it becomes like Lords. So what you do is you get all the people who have all these needs and all the, and, you know, not to deny those, but that's who gets to speak, which kind of reinforces the idea this is an issue we've got to deal with. The people who are paying it, you know, you don't have time because you're at work. So that's kind of the way that works, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, town halls, the town halls that are held by prominent politicians in Connecticut are just used as media opportunities to, in front of the general public, their usual propaganda. So, it's not unreasonable to assume that when politician A gets before a bunch of people in a town hall, his staff has made strenuous efforts to make sure that the people in the town hall support, you know, whatever it is he wants to do.
You mean it's not a real, like, Norman Rockwell kind of reputation?
I don't think so.
of New England small town life? You mean it's not? Oh, man, am I disillusioned. Oh, Don. Anything else you want to hit on? We got about a minute here.
I'm going to be writing a little bit more in a humorous vein. Think about Ned Lamont's incompetence. I think people are beginning to realize at this point that he he is incompetent.
Well, and I think one of the problems is, you know, I did have high hopes for him, and I still do. But I think the thing, I'd like to see him succeed. But I think the problem is way too generous in his assumptions as to what state employees, and that is where a major expense is. You know, there are things you can't mess with, and that's one of them. And, you know, I remember doing a thing, oh God, I can't remember who it was. Diane Smith was with me and a bunch of others. They had a hearing over at the Capitol. And it was basically, you know, what's the perception of state employees? And, you know, so I got into the usual things. I may have been wrong, but these are the perceptions as they are. And I think it was Lori Pelletier says, we've already given stuff back. We've done enough. You know, and so, you know, you're not going to get anywhere with these guys, Ned. As wonderful as you are, it's not going to happen. You can't charm them. They've got a bottom line to deal with.
I'm glad you mentioned Lori. You know, why is it no one's curious about where she is?
Where is she?
I don't know.
Oh.
Nobody knows.
Oh, I've got an assignment. I thought she was going to D.C. or something.
Yeah, she's in D.C., but why did she leave?
She writes material for OAC, I think is what she's doing. Hey, thank you much for being on, Don. It's great to talk to you. Next week, you'll get to play with Will again, okay?
All right. Well, you know, Ray, it's always a pleasure talking to somebody who knows what's going on.
Kind of. I don't think any of us know, really, Don. But, yes, thank you. It's
a pleasure talking to you because yeah. You know what's going on.
All right. It's no, not really. And the question is, do I really want to know what's going on? And probably no.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.